Hello, my name is Brandy Hofer, your host and founder of Color Me Happy, a community podcast and book, all of which I started in my in-home studio whilst in the throes of motherhood. I am an artist, author, educator, and mother to three beautiful boys. We live and create together in our in-home studio that is tucked away in the quiet Canadian prairies. Our podcast and community was built to empower and inspire. We chat about everything from motherhood, the art world, business, and health in the most honest and authentic way. It's totally unedited and unfiltered. If you love what we do here, become a part of our free community, Color Me Happy. We have grown the community to support our members with features and interviews. Our link is in the notes. Thank you for being here. I sure do appreciate your time. Hello, thank you for being here. Welcome to Color Me Happy podcast. I appreciate your time. You're going to love our guest today, Victoria J. Fry, founder of Visionary Art Collective. We had such a good conversation and we have trouble stopping talking. I actually met Victoria in New York and we clicked really well then, and we continue our friendship, and I've invested in her artwork and she has done the same with mine, and we are very good friends. So online friends mostly, because she's in New York and I am in Canada, as you know. But we talk about also in this episode about the importance of investing in yourself through coaching and mentorship and pivoting in your life and investing in your passions, diversifying your income and what that looks like. And of course, I have my new class, Diversify Your Income, which is actually in our notes. So check that out. I think you'll really appreciate that class and get a lot of freedom financially and independence in taking hold of your finances and being financially aware, financially smarter. Money is power. And when you invest in yourself, you have more freedom to do so. So, and then you can start supporting others as well. So we hope that for as many people and creatives as possible. That's why we created the course. Of course, we couldn't do this without our community partners, BioClean Disaster Services, Nouveau Laser and Aesthetic, almost at it, Nouveau Laser and Aesthetic Center, Oasis Hot Yoga and Spin Studio, and Red Bicycle Communications. And thank you for being here and listening. We're happy to chat anytime at Brandy Hofer Studios on Instagram. Thanks for being here, friend. There, perfect. Welcome, Victoria, to our podcast today. So nice to have you. I actually had the pleasure of meeting Victoria in New York, and it was so magical and special. In September, was it September? Oh, life has become a little bit blurry in the last little bit. Lots going on. But yeah, I think September or October, one of those, I feel like it's September. Yes. And September, we all met at the Affordable Art Fair there, and we got to, I remember like seeing you all from far away, and Juliana was like, there they are. And I was like, I feel like I just know those people. Like there's no like fear or weirdness, or it's just like, I know them. They're just physically here now instead of on a computer screen.
That is exactly how it felt. It was so funny because I think within a matter of seconds, we were just chatting as if we had known each other for years. And it's like such a beautiful thing and such a special thing. And it's like really rare too when that happens, you know? It was amazing. Yeah. I think it was towards the end of September, and it was just such a gorgeous event and evening. And I had the best time with you. It was such a treat.
Yeah, we definitely chatted a lot, which I kind of, well, you never know, but I kind of knew would happen in a way, because our first podcast for you, it was like early on in your, when you just started, right?
It was.
We talked a long time and it was easy. Like we clicked. It was nice.
We clicked. It's so beautiful when it's like just sort of an effortless connection and you feel like you can just chat for hours about like any old thing, you know? And I think part of that too is we met through the same community. I think we're very like-minded and we have similar goals and similar intentions with what we're doing. And so there's like already this beautiful connection right off the bat. But it was so fun. You've got to come back to New York. We've got to get you back to New
I
York
do.
City.
I know. It's kind of hard to go. It's not close. And it's uber expensive to get there from here. But I definitely, it won't be my last visit. And I'm happy to meet anyone anywhere in Canada too. So anytime anyone comes to Canada, it's a beautiful, beautiful place, and there's something special about it. So the reason why I just see like food crumbs on my computer. The reason why it's so easy to talk to you is because you're just one of those women who it's okay if I'm like, well, how did you do that? Like, what are you doing now? And how did you? And that's what I love about the evolution of women in business is that we are so open and so ready and willing to collaborate and share our wins and losses and what's working for this person and what's working for that person and give each other advice so we can all move forward together. And that was my favorite part of the trip. It was like things clicking all together after we had been on our computers so long.
I know, so long. It was one of the best weekends I think I had, like last year in general, just like this coming together of all of us, and obviously getting to know you is really special. But I agree. I think that like women in business, it's so important that we share openly and that we share honestly and that we support each other. And I'm so fortunate because any mentor that I've worked with or any one who I have looked up to, you know, like Marie Forleo or Jenna Couture, these amazing women in business, they share so openly. And it really inspired me when I started my business. Like, I never want to be in a scarcity mindset where I'm thinking about competition. That's not a healthy place to be for anyone. And actually, the more you share and the more you share freely and abundantly, like the stronger we all get. I mean, it's valuable for everyone. And it's really, really important, I think. So I fully believe that the line of communication just should be open all the time.
I agree. And coming out of a place where I love the jealous curator's name because it's right in her name. We all get jealous, but the evolution of me being jealous and then just stewing on it to where I am today, there's a huge effing difference. Like it has impacted my life. When you think, and everyone's like, oh, it's just like magic, imaginary things, gratitude and working together and all those things, like they truly work. And like all my big dreams started happening when I've always been really honest about everything. And like obviously I'm being honest right now. Like I sat in jealousy and I sat in like, why can't I do that? You know, for a long time. It's not the way I think now, but when you think about collaborating and abundance and that it's there's enough out there because there is, it just magical things happen. It is
Well,
magic, but great things
it
happen.
is magic. And also we like there's no reason to hoard information. And there's also no reason to feel like you have to protect, you know, protect things because that's all it's all fear-based. And I really started to unpack that and realize that like it's when you give openly and you just share information, strategies, you actually attract so much more. So one of the first things I did when I launched my company was we opened our library of free educational resources, and we currently have 72 free downloadable resources in there. And they are incredibly valuable. Like each one has been created by either me or contributed by an artist who's really established, or like a curator or an art educator. And like we get so many downloads, and I never felt like, oh, I should be charging for these or I should be making money off of these. I actually felt like, no, it's really important to have a branch in my business that is completely accessible to everyone, you know? And actually, through that sharing and that kind of like just freely giving, I have gained so many people who like want to work with me in my one-to-one program or want to take it to the next step. And they're like, hey, I downloaded some of your resources and they were great. Do you, what other opportunities do you have? Like you just attract more when you're in that state of giving. I this is very fresh on my mind because I've been diving really, really deep into like scarcity versus abundant mindset over the past year. And it's so interesting when we catch ourselves in these moments where we have a fearful thought, where we feel like we have to just protect something in our lives or business. And if you really start to unpack that and kind of understand the fear behind that, then you're like, oh, okay, wait, this is actually just an intrusive thought right now. I don't really have to, this isn't actually true. And I am the truest and best version of myself when I am giving and I'm not in that fearful place and not feeling like I have to protect everything. So I think it's especially important for women to just share with each other, like you mentioned, and have these honest conversations. And if someone comes to you and they need help with something or they want to know how to do something, like share as much as you're able to, you know, I think you can still do it in a way where you are like respecting and valuing yourself and your time, but I think it's just absolutely crucial that we do that as women, as entrepreneurs, as creatives. Yeah.
And I've looked into your library. Sorry, this is like podcasting 101. This is Victoria J. Fry, founder of Visionary Art Collective.
Didn't even know this. I was,
No,
oh,
I usually do
yeah.
it after because I suck at intros, clearly. But just so everyone knows, when she's talking about her library, it's a huge resource and it's filled with stuff. You could stay there for days. It is amazing and it's free. And when I went on there, I was like, holy shit, this is free? Like, and but at the same time, you probably grew because of it. Like not that's why you do it. That is just what you wanted to share because those are the people you want to work with and attract and support.
Well, and you
Right?
want to know, I'll just tell you quickly how it started because it's actually kind of a funny story because I didn't actually design, like when I started my company, I knew I wanted to have free accessible resources, but I didn't really design the library or I just knew it was something I wanted to do at some point. And I knew I wanted to do it pretty early on, but how it actually happened was quite organic. I was working with high school students and I was helping them, this really lovely group of high school students, to help to write their artist statements for a show that they were submitting to. And they were like, you know, 15, 16, 17, like didn't know how to write an artist statement. And they were just like a little bit, you know, naturally confused about how to visual, like how to articulate what they are visually exploring in their work. So I just like put together this guide for them with like some examples and like steps. And I just uploaded it to our website. It was the first, well, one of the first resources in our digital library. And I just thought, well, if it's helpful for these teenagers, it might be helpful for other other artists. I uploaded it and I just posted to our Instagram that that resource was now in our digital library. And I think we had like 200 downloads within the first few hours.
That's
And I would,
insane.
it was crazy. My email, you know, because we get notified when someone downloads a resource, my email was just blown up. And I got so many personal messages from artists who were like, hey, I know you mentioned that you designed this for like a group of high school students you're working with, but I'm an early career artist and I really struggle with writing my artist statement. And this is like has really helped to simplify the process. So then I was like, oh my gosh, if this resource is that popular, which I had absolutely no, I thought maybe it would get a couple of clicks. I had no idea it would blow up the way that it did. So then I got really passionate and I spent months writing these resources. And every time I wrote, every time I thought of something like, okay, well, what else could be helpful? What else might be beneficial? I would just write it and just upload it. And we just, the downloads were just like, oh my gosh, nonstop. But it felt so good because there were artists in there, many of them emerging, you know, or at the beginning of their careers who were like, these resources have really helped. They've given me a starting point, you know. They've given me like some idea, some structure of where to go. And so it just felt really good. And we continue to, you know, update the library and add things in there. But It's through that experience, I realized how vital it was to share anything that we can. And you don't have to be, this is something I think we have to remember too, is that you don't actually have to be 10 steps ahead of someone to help them. You really only have to be one step ahead of someone, or half a step ahead of them to help them. You don't even have to be, I'm reading right now, Make Your Art No Matter What by Beth Pickens for our book club. And she has a chapter on this where she talks about how if if you're an artist and you're just slightly further along in your career than another artist, you can still share your expertise and your knowledge with them. And I think that that's something that is important to remember as well.
And sometimes though, like because I've been in the industry so long, I do forget like how hard it was to write an artist statement for the first time.
Yes.
And so when we think about those things and thinking about, people see you and they want to get into art or whatever, you're causing them overwhelm. They're so far ahead that I don't even know where to start, so I won't.
Yeah.
So I like if you're an artist and you're thinking about setting up resources to share or free offers or where to begin on because it's a really great way to grow as well. Instead of being like, oh, this is my art. What did you use to make it? Where did you get your paint? Like anything. Like and sometimes, yeah, being in the industry so long, I forget those like main like they're I don't think about them anymore because you just do them. They become a habit. I actually skip artist statements and write a poem now. So
I love that. I love
I
that
just,
though. I think that's so beautiful.
yeah. Well, you have your bio and all of that stuff, like where people can get your in general, like how and why you make it. But like, getting deeper with a poem, like you don't always have to go that traditional route. And I feel like with the powerful, especially like the figurative female work, like a poem just hits the nail on the head a little bit harder and connects to people's hearts, pulls on people's heartstrings that much more because the poem came from the heart. So did that artwork. So it like,
Well, absolutely. And I think it goes back to this idea too of like things are changing. We don't have to follow rules. We don't have to, there's not a set way of doing something. Like you can write an artist statement in a more traditional way, or you could write a poem. There's another artist I'm working with right now who, has sort of like a poem, a very poetic artist statement, we'll put it that way. And it's absolutely beautiful. And it's like her voice comes through so strong. So I don't think we have to follow things in an, in a such a formulaic way. I think there is some room to kind of personalize things and make them a little bit more so that they sound like us and they fit, in your case, if your poem, I'm sure fits with your work a little bit better.
Yeah, but it took 10 years of artist statement writing to get to the poetry
Yeah.
stage. Not saying that that has to be your route, but I actually had a guest on, Emily. I don't know. I'm really bad with names. Probably not even Emily. No, it's not because I met Emily yesterday. I'm over attending things right now. I had an artist on and everyone will see Jenna? No, I don't know. Anyways, you'll see she's an artist, but she is also a freelance writer. Okay, so we actually talked about the advantages of being a writer in an artist world because she's literally traveling around the world at artist residencies and getting funding. And so don't skip the writing set, just step. It is such a valuable tool to sit and write. If it's overwhelming, start with morning pages. If like it just takes 10, 15 minutes a day of free form writing and just to get you in the flow of doing it. I should know. I couldn't even write an essay by the time I got to grade 12. And finally a TA took me aside. She's like, you don't know how to write an essay. I'm like, damn right I don't. I do not. I don't know what you're talking about. Introduction, whatever. I still don't know. Anyway, she's like, okay, I know you understand the book because
you like it's there, but it's not because I could not communicate correctly. So the evolution of, you know, going, hitting grade 12 and not being able to follow the structure of an essay, even though I was doing the work, but communicate how I was feeling and the symbolism and everything that I was taking away, I understood it. I just couldn't communicate it, and it took a lot of work to get to the point of course, writing a book myself, but in my own way. Like, it's a journey, and everyone listening, your writing will be so unique to you, but don't discount it because it is a huge tool. If you like it, it gets used for everything. It's communicating who you are to the world, like social media posts, artist statements, grants and funding, artist residencies, features in magazines and papers and articles and speeches and whatever it is. Like, writing will take you further because of it. Like yesterday I gave a speech to 300 women, like, and I worked on that for 2 weeks and making sure I wrote it all down properly. And it's on truth and reconciliation. So it's a delicate subject matter that I have to get absolutely correct. And we need support for the project. So communicating to the community why it is important to our community and surrounding area and why they should help. Like, I have to raise $100,000 and I have to make people feel something with words and speaking, which I'm still at, but like getting better. And it has been the number one way to communicate creativity and art to the world.
Absolutely. I think it's such an essential tool. I also just want to congratulate you on giving a speech to 300 women. That's kind of amazing. So congrats. That's like a huge thing. But yeah, it's when I was teaching a workshop for a long time about, you know, I think it was called like strategies, writing about your work, strategies for a powerful artist statement. Now it's something I teach in my group mentorship program. But when I was teaching that workshop, or when I teach about writing about your work in general, something that I really emphasize that you just brought up is you actually get a deeper understanding of your work through the process. And I didn't always really get that. I thought, okay, I've got to write an artist statement because I need it for this submission, or I've got to write one for my website, you know, kind of writing it out of necessity. But what happened when I started writing about my work was I started to have these aha moments of like, oh, that's why I'm doing that thing. Oh, that's why, why I'm like, whatever the thing is, like, because it, in the process of writing, you have to naturally slow down and really think about your work on a deeper level. I think that when we paint, you know, I'm using that as an example, but when we create our work, sometimes we almost create autonomously, you know, where it's like, we're not thinking, we just go into the zone, as we call it, and we just create. And yes, there are moments where we step back and we evaluate our work and then we return to it. But I think it really does tend to be kind of an autonomous thing for many of us. And so when we write, we have to just slow down and really think about our work. And when you have guiding questions, which I think are really helpful anytime you're writing about your work, you know, what inspires me, or like what experiences or concepts are the driving force behind what I'm creating, or what art movements have I looked to that are inspiring me, or like, what do I hope to impart on the viewer or the audience? When you have those questions and you're responding to them, it really forces you to think about your work in a new way. And I always leave an artist statement. This is actually reminding me, I've got to update my artist statement right now. But I always leave that writing process, because usually it's not, you know, you don't write it in one sitting. It's like a process that can take anywhere from a few days to a couple weeks or longer. And I always end really understanding my work and feeling more confident about, you know, talking about it or presenting it, because I've really solidified what it is I'm trying to do. And you kind of know that on some level when you're making the work, but it changes things when you write about it. You just are tapped in at a deeper level. You understand it more. I think you have a clearer idea of what it is you're trying to convey. So for anyone who feels like it's a daunting task, it's actually a really beautiful thing. And I think your suggestion, Brandy, of like morning pages, or one thing I would suggest to artists as well is just to, if you can get in the habit of just keeping a journal near your paintings or in your studio or at your desk, and just if you're taking breaks while working on your art, just to jot down even thoughts. Just it doesn't need, you know, stream of consciousness. Just
or on your computer, then you can skip the step of the task of translating what you wrote, because that is my struggle, right? I always do a computer now because in university that was the way I organized it, because my writing is so freeform and it's like a messy expression. So I actually like worked through processes on a laptop instead of working through in a journal. But very, very valid points. I agree with you 100%. And here's why I agree with you on formulating what your work is about and being able to communicate it, because you will be asked about it. You will be asked several times, and it prepares you to answer. I always get really nervous in interviews. Well, who doesn't? But they do ask hard questions, and you have to be okay with being like, well, I already have figured this out, and I can confidently answer it, and I've thought about it. Like, you never want to be like, oh yeah, I actually don't really, I just love doing it. It's fun, you know? And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Like, not that you're making it for them, but it just, there's more value in it for yourself and for the viewer and for the gallery or whoever is taking away. And in terms of like, if you're doing product design or murals or anything else, like especially murals are so community-based, like the concept has to be like spot on. You're doing this for the community. You're not, this is not about you. This is about like, this is about a people, and this is about creating a space that will be there probably after you die. Like, it's a big effing deal. So figure it out first. A lot of times murals though, that like they have to be presented and approved. So that work goes in initially, thank goodness. It's not an afterthought. Here's a real life example. So we launched Kindness Wins, which is an anti-bullying, we raise funds for trauma programming in our community through, we partner with Lloydminster and District Co-op. We're just the designer and the, like, this looks good on me person, and making people feel good. And then, the funds go to Beyond Borders Circles of Change. So Wednesday morning I show up, and, so there's like 7 different media people there, and you have to answer all these questions. And why did you design this shirt? What does this year's design mean? I have to be prepared to talk to them about that. And, you know, it wasn't so hard because I've had experience in it. And so the answers are still raw and real, but I knew what it meant. Like, I knew for me what it meant. And it was the building blocks of loving yourself first. And then I got asked a really, a question about what does kindness mean for race, you know, for Black Lives Matter and for our Indigenous community. So that's a really challenging question, and it shouldn't be, because we should all think about those things. However, like, I have to be ready to address that in my community, because it's a real thing happening right now that we're addressing. So I had an answer prepared, because I know how I feel, and I know how I want to support those communities. So I needed to eloquently say and respond to that question. I sure should hope I did answer well. And I think I did. The articles have not come out yet, but I to my heart's core believe in inclusion and support, and everyone should be able to shine their light equally in this world. And so I need to express that properly. So I need to think about it and write about it first so I can. And for me, like, I screw things up with words all the time. So I need that process of thought and organization first, right?
Absolutely. It's so helpful when you're preparing for interviews or whatever it might be, because it's kind of, you, like you said, it's a process of like getting your ideas down and kind of taking all of the raw, messy thoughts you're having, which we all have, and then turning them into eloquent sentences that you can, you know, recite, and not like that you have to memorize and recite, but like, no, but it's like they're in there and like they'll come, it will be fresh on your mind if you're writing about it. And the way you respond to a question will be more informed because you have been writing about it. But another thing I wanted to mention that I think is so important, and this came up in my workshops, and it still comes up with artists I work with, is like you don't have to overly intellectualize your statement. And I think that a lot of artists feel that they need to, because when we go to the galleries, you know, I'm always going to the Chelsea galleries here in New York City. And a lot of the press releases I pick up and I read the statements, you know, some of them you can easily process and understand. Some of them I cannot understand. I'm like, I'm going to need 5 dictionaries and a thesaurus to understand the statement. And I think sometimes it's like, yes, you want your statement to read as professional and eloquent, and you want people to see the value in it, and you want to communicate what, you know, effectively what you're doing in your work. But if you find that you're starting to use, like, do not put pressure on yourself to use overly academic language or to really intellectualize your statement in a way that feels unnatural to you, because then it's not even going to feel like yours anymore, you know, and people who read it are actually going to pick up on that. So just write what is real and true to you. And yes, you can try, you know, you can word it in a way that's a little bit, you know, you can give it a little zhuzh so that it's a little elevated, but you don't have to, write in a way that you feel like you have to. And I just wanted to mention that because it's come up so much. And sometimes I work with artists and they're like, well, you know, I'm guided by my intuition and I choose the colors depending on how I feel that day and like all of this, but like, I feel like I can't write that because it doesn't sound good enough or doesn't sound professional enough. And I'm like, no, write that. And like, let's see how maybe we can elevate it a little bit, but it should absolutely feel true and authentic to you and your process. So it's just something to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. That's really great advice. Okay. I'm going to talk to you briefly about, so this idea, because this is everyone's first time meeting you on here on Color Me Happy. And how did you move from, how did you start? How did the Visionary Art Collective, you know, how did you take that brave leap in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for asking. It's, we're approaching 3 years, which is really crazy. It was a blog. It started as a blog. I was teaching. I taught for many years. When I was in undergraduate, I thought I wanted to work in the galleries. My first internship was at David Zwirner. I was really sure that was the path I wanted to take. So I was working with a lot of curators here in New York City and meeting a lot of, you know, really well-known artists. And I was part of all the openings and it was great. But I wasn't feeling that true fulfillment from it. And I found that when I started teaching, and I was working at a community center in Chelsea. Chelsea is such an interesting neighborhood because you have the Chelsea Projects, which is, you know, community housing. And then literally 2 blocks over, you have David Zwirner and all of the galleries. And I was actually going back and forth between my internship at David Zwirner and volunteering in the housing projects and working with children and teens and, you know, people who are also going to get their GED, and working with them in a creative way and teaching them art and things like that. And I absolutely loved it. Like, I just fell in love with the people there. I left every day, even though it was, you know, unpaid, feeling like just so rewarded. And I knew that I wanted to go into that line of work. So I went into teaching and I taught for about, 6 or 7 years. all through my 20s. But what I found was that teaching, whether you're in a private school or a public school, I don't want to generalize. For me, it was very, very, very stressful. It was some days were incredibly fulfilling, and other days my tank was empty, and I was having to teach 150 students in a week. Like, as an art teacher at a huge public school, that was my reality. Yeah, 150 students in a week, just cycling through them. And some schools that I taught at were better fits for me than others. Some experiences I enjoyed, but overall I was just feeling, I'm 28, you know, now I'm 32, but at the time I was like 28, 29. And I'm like, I am getting burnt out. So actually the way VAC started, I mean, if I knew 3 years ago that I'd be sitting here now with my company, I would have just been absolutely blown away. I never knew that this was going to happen, but I needed something outside of my teaching job. And it's the funniest thing. I actually, 3 years ago, probably a little over, because I started my blog, three and a half years ago, I had a dream that I had a blog. And I woke up in the morning and I kid you not, it was the craziest thing. It was so clear in my dream. And I woke up in the morning and I was like, I'm going to start a blog. And I need a project. I need something outside of, yes, I was painting and I was making art in the time that I could outside of my teaching position. But I also just wanted a project that I had full ownership over. And I wanted to connect with other artists. So the blog that I started was called the InstaArt Project. And I literally would just reach out to artists and curators on Instagram, and I would ask them if I could interview them for my blog. So it was just this running series of interviews, and I got so into it. I would literally be working on it on my lunch break at school. As soon as I got home for school, sometimes before I even left for school in the mornings, I was so in love with these interviews and like connecting with the artists and learning about them. And it was like the first time since art school that I actually felt I was connecting with a creative community again. And then I did this for months and months. And then finally I was like, maybe I could turn this into something more, you know, because I was getting a lot of readers and I was getting a lot of traction and a lot of messages. And some people were even like asking if they could be interviewed for the blog, which was crazy to me. And so then COVID hit. and it was a blessing for me, not to say that COVID was a blessing, but the silver lining of it for me was that all of a sudden the school that I had been working at basically said to me, listen, we're still going to pay you, but we can't have you come in right now. It's really stressful. We're trying to figure out the situation. So we will still pay you, but just if you can just upload like one lesson for the kids a week online, and that's it. It's all we need from you. So not only was I going further into my blog because I was like, oh my gosh, this is kind of great for me. I was publishing like
deal.
Four interviews.
I will take your deal.
Yeah. I was like, I will take this deal. And then I was getting like deeper into my blog. So I was like, this is more time I can spend working on my blog. And this is more time I can spend painting. Like, this is actually a very healing experience. And then I started to realize, okay, I could really turn this into something. So I thought about, and I was working with an amazing mentor at the time too. Everything happened like serendipitously. I was writing my blog, COVID happened. A mentor who I really admired put out a call that she was taking on one-to-one mentees. And all of these things lined up, and I filled out an application on her website, started working with her, which was absolutely incredible. And I realized that I could turn this into something. So I spent, I'm not even exaggerating, three months pretty much locked in the guest room of my parents' house, locked by choice. And I was in there for like 8 to 12 hours a day, building the VAC website, transferring all of the interviews, and there were so many already at that point, and all of the content from my blog over to the VAC website. And on June 29th or June 30th of 2020, I announced, it was like our coming out. I launched the VAC Instagram. I did a big celebratory thing. And like, I think we got 300 followers in the first few hours. I'm not even kidding. It was just like this explosion. And I mean, I don't want to ramble on too much because a lot has happened since then with how I've grown it and all that we, you know, all the different branches we have now. Now we still publish interviews every week, but I mentor artists in a one-to-one setting. I have a group program of amazing emerging artists that I mentor. And it's just like grown into this beautiful thing. And I will say this because I'm so excited and I can barely contain myself. We are having our first in-person exhibit this April in a beautiful gallery that I rented in Tribeca, which is a gorgeous neighborhood in Manhattan. And I'm just like pinching myself. So it's amazing, but I don't want to say that it hasn't been without its struggles. I mean, building a business is challenging. It is time consuming. It is so much energy, but I love it and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
I got to witness that beautiful growth and the launching of it, and you did it so well. But I think it takes, you know, the journey of, you know, you love something, but you were burnt out. Okay, so what do I need? Like, it takes a lot of self-reflection and courage to be like, okay, so how can I make a change? Of course, you were kind of forced into it, but not a lot of people were forced into a lot, but didn't build a whole, you know, community over it. And I think it's a really great way. And I think it really started with supporting other people, right? Coming back to where we started with, you know, abundance versus scarcity, and how can you support others? And then what will that look like? And then honoring, you know, even though you didn't know, and I'm sure you were afraid a lot of the time, and
oh yeah,
it just turned out right.
It did, and that's, I think, another thing that's important to recognize is like I'm still afraid almost every day. You know, not to say I'm like living in fear, but I have fears that arise almost every day because that's just the nature of doing something you've never done before. But you still show up, you know, I still show up and I still do my best. And I think the more that you, through this process of launching this company, I have really learned to trust myself so much. And it's an ongoing process. But I think one of the best things you can do when you're feeling nervous or scared about anything is recall a time where you did something for the first time and you freaking crushed it, okay? Or just like did a really great job. And when you remember that moment, you're like, oh wait, I did it then and I can do this again, you know? And then you start to become more confident and it happens over time. You start to trust yourself more. And I know that when I had you on my podcast, we spoke so much about community and the amazing community that you have built. And I would say that for me, launching VAC, the community has been the absolute best part of it, because I realize now that through my almost like I would say all of my 20s, from the time I graduated at 21 until the time that I launched this community at 29, I was completely disconnected from an artist community. Yes, I was teaching art. And yes, I was like, I had a couple of artist friends and occasionally would take workshops, but I really was not part of a community. And to feel that again, and to feel it in an even deeper way than I felt when I was in art school, where I had such a tight-knit community, has been the biggest blessing. It's like, oh, I found my people again. We're all in this together.
It is. It has been
so
great. So great.
Yeah.
There is nothing like it. That is for sure. And the friendships and support, it's just like, and no one's judging you and no one's going to tell you you're doing it wrong, or they're just there to help. Yeah. And it's quite, I've never been a part of something so great. So we're talking about the art queens too. it's so great. And it was founded, like Kat talks about it all the time, out of, you know, terrible situations that she was in and didn't want to feel anymore. So how could she solve that issue? Is do it herself. And she did in such a great way. You talked about mentorship. How has mentorship made a difference in your evolution of your business?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's such an important question because mentorship, you know, I just interviewed Kat for my podcast and she even said in that interview, she's like, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the coaches and mentors I've worked with. And I feel the same because I think that mentorship, whether it's a one-on-one mentor or whether it's a group program that you are in, is absolutely important because, I mean, one-to-one is amazing because it is like you are working with a professional who is completely customizing their one-to-one program to meet your needs and your goals and all of that. And I've had two incredible mentors now. I just finished a six-month mentorship with another incredible professional in the art world where I learned so much. I mean, both of them have been transformative for me. And I see it with the artists I work with too. I mean, the artists that I work with in my one-to-one program, I see where they're at the beginning and after 3 months of working together to see that, you know, they're showing up and giving 100%, I'm showing up and giving 100% to them as well. And through that, this beautiful transformation happens. The best thing for me to see, I mean, yes, you know, I give them the practical tools and skills and all of that. And that's, of course, essential and that's important. But the best thing for me to see is the confidence grow in the artists I work with, to see them become more confident and to leave the program feeling like not just that they have the practical skills and tools, but to feel like they can talk about their work now in a different way and they can show up in a different way and share their work with more confidence and really start to put themselves out there. I mean, forget it. I get emotional sometimes because it's such a beautiful thing to see. And I see it in my group program too. I actually think I feel the best when I have a mentor and when I'm mentoring. When both of those things are happening at the same time, I'm like, life is really, really good because it's this cycle. My mentor is passing down knowledge to me that I am sharing with the artists I'm working with, that they are probably sharing with other artists that they know. And it's just like this beautiful kind of passing of knowledge, sharing of knowledge. And it goes back to what we were talking about too, you know, to share openly. It's just, it's a beautiful thing. And it's a really, really powerful thing. And I will tell you that when I've been speaking more lately about investing in yourself, and I know it is different for everyone and it depends, just to be frank, on your financial situation. But when I hired my first mentor, I was living with my parents. I had a teaching position, so I don't even need to explain what my salary was, okay? And I was trying to save as much as I could. And I, you know, luckily being able to live, my fiance and I were living with my parents. So that was that's a story for another day. It was our first time living together with my parents. So it's
perfect.
Interesting. Yeah. Never lived together before, but, you know, it was interesting. But I will say, like, I was absolutely terrified to make the financial investment. I almost didn't do it. And I decided to take the leap of faith and I had some savings, but not a ton. And I did it and my income increased as soon, like I started making the money back as soon as that mentorship program ended. I think I even started to make the money back during the mentorship program because I was gaining so much more confidence and strategies and skills and tools. And so I also think sometimes we can just feel in general afraid to invest in ourselves. Like, but it's so important. I don't know. I think it's really essential to invest in yourself in whatever way you can. And it looks different for each person. But I would say if you are in a position where you can get work with a mentor for a period of time, it is just the most beautiful thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. I haven't done where I've mentored people. I haven't done, I did Penny Lane, so an art consultant for a lot of years, and she's great for art world stuff. But then I'm like, but I'm also writing a book and starting a community and a podcast. And I'm like, I need to find someone else. And I just haven't, just in terms of time and energy and what I'm taking on at this very moment. I'm like, how about I have four speaking engagements in 2 weeks where I have to pull some stuff off, right? It is a lot, but like it's I can see how a support person would be great. My studio manager is like, she's it. So she's so great. We have weekly meetings and she keeps me on track and we review everything. So I feel like I just a very great studio manager.
Well, and your mentor can look different, you know, it doesn't always have to be, your mentor can look different, but for me, the best part of having a, you know, one-on-one mentor has been like, actually things have been happening. It is an investment in time. And usually it's a financial investment, but I found that things actually happen quicker for me because I would have a solid hour and a half to strategize, you know, really intentionally with someone. And then everything would go quicker for the rest of the week. There was something, some magic in like just putting our heads together for 90 minutes and really diving deep. And I just, you know, it's interesting because I was also nervous about the time, especially, well, you also have kids. So that's also a whole
those
other.
Three. Yeah. Also
have
those
three young kids. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to just be honest with yourself and what you can. It sounds like for you, you have someone in your life who's helping to hold you accountable. And like,
I would call her a mentor for the last, because she thinks of things that I do not see, right?
Yes.
And of course, there's mentors that help you level up, right?
Yeah.
If they're doing something that you are interested in, like they know how to get there and they will get you there faster and more efficiently. Like you just said, like it is time for planning. You're like, okay, yeah, I'm ready. I have my notes and I'm ready to go now. We've organized our thoughts. Thank you. It is integral. If you don't know what you're up for, or in for, but like there's also like free ways to start and then find the right fit for both of mentor and mentee. Because that is so, so important, finding the right fit. And you can do that from listening to podcasts and going into people's free resource libraries or and checking them out and reading reviews and all of that stuff really helps. And or reaching out to one of their clients, like how did I'm an artist and I just started, like, who did you work with? Like, that's how I started with Penny Lane and what she did worked. It worked so well that I burnt out from her advice. So I got myself in a pickle of making, and I talk about it all the time, 130 originals in 1 year. So taking, sometimes it works so great. But of course then I had like experience and advice to pass down to my mentees, like, this is how we did this. And it was great because we built a huge collector base and clientele and return customers. And those are your best customers. And now I'm making classes about it. Like there's also classes where you can take them at your own pace. And that's the custom artwork class, which is so it follows up the portrait class, but like how can you efficiently make art and build it's I know I was burnt out and I talked about how crappy that was, but I'm so glad that it happened because then I had that experience and knowledge to pass down. And then I like to put it in a package because I don't have time for a ton of, I only like take on one or two mentees, and I'm sure you know you only take on what you can with running your company plus one-on-one time. Like you have to find balance in that, right? So for me, pre-recorded sessions are all I can really give with those like common questions that are asked all the time. So I just make those common questions into pre-recorded sessions because look, like for years I was asked the same questions on email and social media. It's like, how are you doing this? Or like, I'm like, you know, I shouldn't one day write a book. And then I never thought about it. And then one day I did. I'm like, I am going to write a book. So
I am so excited about your book, by the way. I just want to add, like, it is officially here. It's not in front of me, but it's in my office. I have a little book nook corner that I made for the book club, and it's over there as we speak, and we're diving into it pretty soon. I cannot wait to have you as a guest author. And like, I just think it's so cool that you I mean, it's like you're saying, one-to-one mentorship is one option. And for some artists, that's at the beginning. For some artists, that's further, you know, in the middle of their career, or like further along down the road. But there are so many other options. Like, read as much as you can. I know Kat and Alicia, you know, have the Smartest Guide, and they have the Creative Business Handbook that they just published. There's free resources. There's classes you can take. There's group, like I have my group mentorship program, which I think financially is a little bit more accessible for people than the one-to-one program. And it, the perk of the, of a group program too, or a class or a workshop, is that you are with other artists that you can connect with. And for you, the pre-recorded self-paced, lessons that you teach are so helpful because you can go at your own pace. And for artists that are busy and working, that's like incredibly valuable. So there's a lot of options out there, and it's just about finding what's the best fit for you right now.
Of course. Yeah. In your life. And it is unique to everyone. I love anything where you can touch base with other artists and find community and support. Like, those are amazing as well. You're so right. I still chat with our original Thrive group from like 5 years ago. Like, that is so precious. You make these friendships and connections, and, you know, and it's nice. It's so beautiful to see everyone rise together. That is the best part of anything we do like that. And oh yeah, it's just so special. And I'm so glad you came on today to share all of that knowledge and experience with us. It was so nice to see you and chat. Can you include the free, because we talked about it, the artist statement guide in, send it to me and I'll share it in the notes. And of course, all your other resources and mentorship stuff, or I'll just share your website. That's easy. Where can everyone find you on Instagram?
That works. Visionaryartcollective.com is our website, and our Instagram, just Visionary Art Collective. We also have an Instagram for the magazine now, which is New Visionary Mag. So you can check those out, but I'll send you everything. And thank you so much. This was an amazing conversation, as always, with you. And I'm really grateful for this opportunity. So thank you, Brandy.
Oh, thank you, Fran. So we could talk forever, clearly. I was like, we'll take 45 minutes.
I looked at the time and I was like, I forgot what time we started. So I saw that it was 12:58. And I was like, oh my gosh, I completely lost sense of time. But that was great.
If you're looking for some time for yourself to relax, release, and unwind, Oasis has the perfect space for you. They offer yoga and spin classes of all levels. Whether you are a beginner or advanced student, Oasis thrives on accommodating all aspects of the practice. Let their serene environment and gracious staff help you in your journey of peace, healing, and strength. Sign up online at www.oasishotyogastudio.com or by downloading the Oasis Hot Yoga Studio app. Feel like yourself. You deserve it.